بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Salli ala Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the dua that we have from the Ahlul Bayt, that he, if he has not forgiven us up to this point in the month, that he inshallah on this night forgives us. We have hadith that suggests if a person goes through the month of Ramadan and their sins are not forgiven, they're very, very misfortunate for that to happen. And the reason for it is every opportunity in this month has been provided for that to happen. So if someone's not able to take advantage of all these opportunities, then they must be very misfortunate. We ask Allah not to allow us to be of the misfortunate of this month that go through it and are not forgiven. One of the ideas related to that, related to forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving, has to do with our understanding of forgiveness, meaning what we expect, what we think, what we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us. There's a number of hadith I recently, because I had read a number of them, but I had forgotten where they actually are, so I recently made a note of one of them. I believe it was from Imam al-Ridha. I don't have that available right now to give you. The wording was along these lines, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in, as the wording of the hadith goes, ظن عبدي المؤمن إن خيرا فخير وإن شرا فشر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am in the assumption of my believing servant. If he assumes, or the way he views me, the way he thinks of me, the way she looks at me, is thinking good of him, then my approach towards that person is good. The way I will treat them is good. If they view me in a negative light, pessimism, thinking, God, why did you do this to me? Viewing everything with pessimism, and seeing whatever God has brought about, which everything that we have from our very existence, where we were born, our ethnic background, our language, every bit of that, our family, our economic circumstances, growing up, currently, and where we are, all of that is God-given. There's no sharik for Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. When you say that, nobody else is even a partner in God in any of it. Not that part of it's God-given, part of it's somebody else. Every bit of it is God-given. So some people, when they look at themselves, when they look at what they have, when they look at their physical makeup, their height, I don't know, their weight, their facial features, all of that, what they notice is negative. The way they view it, they don't see anything positive in it. The only thing they see is negative. God, why is my shoe size this and not that? Why is it that there are people, they eat all they want, they don't get fat? I drink water and I get fat. Whatever it is. Oh, my nose is crooked. Why is my nose like this? Why couldn't it be like perfect? My eyes, my everything, the complexion of my skin, the color of my skin. And unfortunately, part of that has to do with this Western European Hollywood and what have you, that the color everybody likes to have is that pale white color. And nobody wants to have anything dark. Everybody is just... And we hear wonders of that. And sometimes I catch myself, I don't know about you, sometimes I catch myself realizing that I'm affected by that. And it's unfortunate. We look at the things that we have. These were some examples. Finances can be discussed. You can think of examples yourself. Spiritually, okay. Sometimes when you go on a spiritual high, or you want to, you're like, God, why did you bring me to life here in this country? Why did I have to see what I saw? I read a little bit about Ayatollah Bahja, like, oh, before he had his facial hair, he was seeing the unseen. I'm like, oh my God. I'm never going to be able to do anything like that. But look at me. This age, I was born here, went through this life, saw things that I saw. There's no way on earth. All of this is being pessimistic towards Allah. We don't realize it. When we're complaining about these things, every bit of it is complaining to Allah. God, why did you give me this? Why didn't you give me something else? If our view of Allah is like that, if we feel negative towards Him, then His treatment of us is going to be negative as well. Good won't come out. Change your perception, change your thought process, change your understanding, change the way you look at everything that God has given from that perspective. When I look at my actions, the wrong that I have done, I seek forgiveness. When I look at what God has given me, I didn't choose to have this skin complexion. Sometimes, just as a joke, sometimes people, I don't know, some of you have seen my brother as well. He's more fair, he's lighter complexed, and his hair is lighter as well. So some people are like, yeah, your brother looks this or looks better or whatever. Okay. Some people make that comment. Okay. And he does, by the way. I agree with that. MashaAllah, it's God-given. Okay, now what do I do when that happens? The feeling towards him is a different thing. I don't want to deal with that envy or feeling bad about that person or disliking that or wishing that they didn't have that. Why do they have it and I don't have it? I'll leave that aside. The feeling that I have about myself when something like that is said. It's not a good comment. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I hope I've never said that to anyone. But anyway, if it's said to me, how do I feel about myself? If we're not careful, if we start developing those negative feelings about things that I didn't do, this is God-given. If I start feeling bad about that, that's feeling negative about what? Something that God has given. Now be careful with that. Now bringing this, tying it into the idea of the forgiveness that we were talking about. If our view, it's based on this idea, this principle that we just mentioned, if our view of Allah and His forgiveness is that I cannot be forgiven, I will not be forgiven. If I think, getting it a bit more serious here, if I think God forgiving me means simply that my past is forgotten, so I'm starting at best with a clean sheet today at age whatever I am. I've lost my past. I don't have it. And so I start from today. And then I look back and I'm like, oh God, there's no way on earth I'm going to catch up to anybody. That's a wrong thought. If you think of Allah in that way, if you think His mercies extend, there's a limit to His mercy, and that's His limit. You can at best ask Him to forgive you for the sins that I have committed. And the best result I can ask for is for Him to forget the negative consequences of that. And I start today. That is incorrect. If you have it, you will be limited. Not because He's limited, not because His mercy is limited, because you limited His mercy. In your mind, He won't give it. Based on that hadith, that's why we mentioned that hadith. It's not one, there's a number of them. Correct this thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran very clearly, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. God, if anybody's like me, I've looked back 37 years of nonsense my whole life, except for the first couple of years that, well, it was nonsense for my parents, but I didn't really control what I did, what I said or whatever. They had to deal with it. But I'm not responsible for what I did because I didn't understand anything. From the moment I have understood up to today, I'm looking back, I know what I've done. You guys don't know, but I do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can flip it based on this verse. This is not being made up, and I'm trying to correct our understanding. I have experienced this. I've had to change this thought process of mine. God says, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. All of those wrong acts that one has done, God can switch them to good deeds. Not only can He omit it, cover it up as though there's nothing, that's one thing, yes, He's capable of that. But it goes beyond that. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. But this is the month of Ramadan. Aim for that. Aim for that. Ask Allah for this. I don't want to start today. If He can change all my past, where everything that I did, every wrong thing, is turned into a good deed, I don't want to start from scratch today. I want all of that to be turned into good deeds. Aim for that. Believe that He can, and He has promised He will. We have to aim for it. First thing is to ask for that with that open mind, with that understanding. The next thing is it requires tawbatun nasuh. Tawbatun nasuh. Tubu ila Allah tawbatan nasuha. Hadith from the Ahlul Bayt. They asked, what's tawbatun nasuh? The Ahlul Bayt said, to tawbah, they never go back to sin again. That's tough, of course, but it's doable. It's doable. We can decide to change and come to a point where we do not commit sin. That's another, let me make this correction as well. The thought, brothers and sisters, that we cannot become ma'asum is wrong. We can become ma'asum. Ma'asum, the basic sense of the word, of course. Meaning, we don't commit sin. All of us are capable of that. Very basic reason for it. Because God has asked us not to commit sin. If it was something we couldn't do, He wouldn't ask us to do that. He's asked us not to commit any sin. And to do all the wajibat, I mean, just doable. We can do it. We can do it. People think that we can't. We're supposed to be sinning. That's Christian ideology. It's not ours. Christian ideology says there's no way of you purifying yourself. You need Jesus to save you. That's not Shia ideology. That's not Islam's ideology. That's not the Quran. The Quran says you can. You should avoid these sins. You can become sinless where from a certain point onwards, you do not commit a sin whatsoever. And there are people that have that. And that's basic, by the way. That's basic. We can ascend way beyond that. The likes of Ayatollah Bahjad not committing haram and doing wajibat is not where they were. They were way above that. Allama Tabatabai, the great ulama, the great non-ulama who ascended to those levels. That's not their level, just not committing sin. They acquired that, they moved above. They moved above. If we come to this point where we don't commit any sin, tawbatun nasuh, yubaddilu Allah sayyatim hasanat. The sayyat, the wrong that we have done, the whole thing flipped upside down. Every bit of it. And this is the month of Ramadan. This is the month to ask for it and actually seek it. Last point tonight. Seeking something, asking for it, we have said before, it's moving towards it. But we have to understand, this is not something that we can acquire in one go, overnight, or in the month of Ramadan, by the end of it, I have it, I have become sinless. Now, it's possible, we can strive for that, but if we don't get there by the end of it, it doesn't mean that, okay, forget it. It means this is a new start. Let's start, keep asking for it, move in that direction. We will get there if we keep going at it, if we keep wanting it, if we keep asking for it. One of the reasons why these du'as are repeated so many times is because of this. Every Thursday night we come, we are reminded, Allahumma ghafir li al-dhunub allati tahtiku al-isam. Allahumma ghafir li kulla dhanbin adhnabtu. Because that want needs to stay alive, that desire needs to stay alive. The inclination to become sinless, where I don't have any wrong, needs to be kept alive. And with that, you keep moving in that direction. We'll get there, and once we get there, of course, inshallah, that we will get there soon. As the dua from Imam Zain al-Abidin put all these things together, we just finished dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali last night. He says, Imam Zain al-Abidin says in the dua that in one line, he says, I find the path to you open for anyone. The path to Allah is open to anyone. In another line, he says, I find the person who is moving towards you, قَرِيبُ الْمَسَافَةِ. It's a short distance. It's not a long distance. Like he's not far away. It's not. Don't look at it like that. Don't think that it's very distant. Once you get to that point, inshallah, we soon will, you realize that there's a lot more to do. Not committing sin is basic. There's so much more to get from Allah. That's why prophets kept ascending throughout their lives. Inshallah, we get there and we move beyond that as well. The companions of the Imam of our time are going to be people that are beyond just sinless. If you're thinking of 313, people ask or wonder what are the qualities of those people. This is one of the qualities of those people. One of their qualities is that they are beyond sinless. They're beyond, and it doesn't mean that they were born like that. No, it doesn't mean they never committed a sin in their life. It means they become sinless. All right, and all this is set for us to want that. And inshallah strive to become one of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he grants us the tawfiq to move in that direction. We ask him to forgive us in this month and allow us to become sinless where we never ask for forgiveness for a haram or for not doing a wajib, but we realize the higher level sins that we need to repent from like the prophets did, inshallah. Wallah, we ask you to hasten the return of our imam. Wallah, help us become his true and close companions. Wallah, protect all those who are helping your cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and our leader. Wallah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. Wallah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. There are ill amongst us. There are those who are suffering from financial difficulties in this community, throughout the globe, suffering from hardships, from oppressions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He grants all of us our hajat, our needs, our requests, cures all the ill from amongst us, relieves all the believers from the hardships they're facing, the oppressions they're facing throughout the globe. And we ask Allah by the right of the Imam of our time that He relieves all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih. Rahimallah man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.